Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Reading the word of the Lord. Praise God. Sister Becky, don't let me preach too long. At 8:15, I want you to get up there and sing like Kathy Hayes. Praise God. Just start playing. I won't do that. That's an old joke. A friend of mine, his wife started playing, and he was had preached a while. And so he looked over and he said, "You can quit moaning on that organ. I'm not about through. But I give you permission to moan on that keyboard at 8:15. So I won't keep these precious people too long, because we want you to come back Sunday knowing we're not going to keep you too long and come back next Wednesday. Praise God. Is God speaking to you? We had a great time here Monday night. Great crowd. I praise God for that, to see people excited about extending the kingdom and enlarging the kingdom of God. Is God talking to you? And, you know, God just blessing me so much. But is God talking to you about his birthday? I was praying today, and Jesus talked to me about his birthday. I told him what I was going to bring, and Jesus said, "No, that's not what I want." Jesus told him what he wanted, and he doubled what I planned on giving. Praise God. I can afford it, but I'm so excited that he doubled it, because that means he's going to double what I was going to receive in my life. The best is yet to come. I know it's an old thing to say, but it's not an old worn-out cliche. It's an amazing promise of God. The best is yet to come. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." I love verses like this, because death is final with everybody except Jesus Christ. But he said, "I've got the keys of death." Praise God. That's the reason why he said, "I am the resurrection." Ain't nobody ever said that. Muhammad didn't say that, but Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Praise God. That means that when things die in my life that I'm not through with, he can bring them back. He can resurrect them. Amen. You may be seated. I wrestle not with the message, but with the title. I'm calling it the restoration of our senses, but I really should have called it God has restored my senses. That's what I want to talk to you tonight. You know, the Bible said, whose report shall you believe? That's a great, great question. Whose report are you going to believe? Because 99% of the reports that you're going to get from your television, social media, your coworkers, your friends, your family is going to be negative. And about 1% of them, unless you come to Living Way and read your Bible personally, are going to be positive. And so whose report are you going to believe? Well, the report that you are going to believe depends on your senses. Somebody said, "Well, I just sense." Well, if they're in the flesh, that don't mean a thing. That just means that they're talking about what they see going. I sense that America's headed for black times. I sense that America's going through a time of turmoil. That means they're just speculating on the news media and trying to kind of put it together. But when somebody says, and they're serious candidates for Christ, and they say, "I sense in the Spirit," that's different. That means something. I sense in the Spirit. David in the 51st Psalm paints a perfect picture of personal restoration after a painful and tragic fall from grace. And he fell from the favor of God. "Create in me," I've loved this psalm as long as I can think. Ever since Charles Watkins used to sing from this particular verse, I've loved this psalm. "Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." I can't see. Those lights are in our eyes. Pardon these lights. We're having a real difficulty with our lights, but that's not going to stop anything around here. We've had the light company out here today, and we're going to spend some real money and get them right, but bear with us while it's happening, and don't let things like that affect you, praise God, because we're bigger than lights. We're bigger than anything like that. What God has done for us is amazing, and we need to put our confidence in God. But I can't say who's running the sound tonight, but whoever is doing it is absolutely perfect standing behind this pulpit. I don't know who you are, but praise be unto you, whoever you are. That means a lot to a preacher. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." This analysis of restoration can first and foremost be applied to the entire human family, because the Bible said that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. However, for our purposes here tonight, it might be more apropos to couch it in the context for all of us. We in whom time takes its terrible toll, and we lose our sight of the goal. That's the reason why people lose out. They don't realize this is a time, life is a time where you have to continually readjust. You have to continually renew. That's the reason why you pray. That's the reason why you read scriptures you read 1,000 times before. It's because you're readjusting. You're reapplying. You're taking the effect of the world and saying, I'm sorry, I got to put you down one more time. And so this is really applicable to those that realize I'm not quite as sensitive as I used to be. Friend, it is very, very expedient that we be sensitive to the Spirit of the living God. Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead and guide us into all truth. If you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, it will lead you spiritually. It will lead you to people that you are going to bless and win to Christ. It will lead you to people that are going to give into your bosom. It will lead you to the right situation, the right circumstance, the right job, the right place for promotion. It's very important that we as Christians become and stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But this message only becomes real meaningful if we keep in mind the triunity of mankind. We live in a body. We have a soul, but we are a spirit. We are a spirit. This concept of the living dead or being dead while we live is not only found in the text that I have read to you from Revelation. I know thy works, thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. It's a reoccurring theme throughout the Bible dozens of times, but it's phrased in verbal terms several times. Paul used it to describe a wanton woman, a wanton widow that was apparently out there looking around. And he said, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. But Jesus would use this word picture twice to illuminate the amazing transformation that had happened in the prodigal from the pig pen back to the father's house. And he was trying to explain it to this elder brother that was having a fit. And Jesus would say it again. He said, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, but he's alive again, was lost and is found. Jesus said that twice. To be dead while one is alive is for the flesh to still be operating and the soul continues to function, but the eternal spirit that you are, the eternal essence of man, has been clearly desensitized. There are people walking around this earth, most of them, and they do not realize that their body and their soul is totally inferior to what they are. They are a spirit, and they're making provisions for their flesh every day, even making provisions for their soul. They make provision by working all day long for their flesh. They make provision for their soul to go out to the club at night, but they make no provision for the spirit at all. The eternal essence of man has been clearly desensitized. Jesus described this pitiful predicament in Mark 8:18. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. Do you not remember what I've done in the past? Jesus gives us the promise of restoration of our senses in Matthew 13 and 15 through 16. For this people's heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand and should be converted, I should heal them. Jesus said, if you're truly converted, I'm going to renew the senses of your spirit where you're going to be able to discern. But blessed are your eyes, Jesus said, for they shall see, and your ears, for they shall hear. Oh, I rejoice in the God of my salvation because I am a true convert. I have been truly converted. Jesus would say to Peter, he said, I pray for you when you are converted. Peter walked with Jesus and was not yet converted. I am a true convert. I'm sold out. I believe Jesus is the way. and the only way. Some people believe he's a good deal. I believe he's the way and the only way. Some people believe he was a great teacher. I believe he's not only the Son of God. I believe that he is God incarnate. I am a convert of Jesus Christ. This is the crux of salvation. Make the dead live. That's what Jesus Christ can do that nobody else can do. It doesn't matter what's dead in your life. Jesus Christ, with one touch, with one word, can make the dead live. One of the symptoms of COVID-19 is the diminished or loss of the senses. Can't smell, can't taste. A friend of mine texted from New York State to me, and she said, pray for my husband. He's lost three of his senses. He can only see and feel now. He can no longer smell, taste, or hear. That's not a good way to live. But even worse than that is people that have had their spiritual senses desensitized and lost them. But praise God, I want to tell you, I've got my spiritual senses, and they are keen. I'm seeing things that other people cannot see, hearing things that other people cannot hear, feeling people that things that other people cannot feel. Why is that, and how is that? The writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 5, verse 14, I've loved this verse for a long time. He said, by reason of use, they have their senses to exercise to discern both good and evil. Friend, that's the key to success in life as well as eternal acquisition, that you can discern both good and evil. And he said, the more you use your senses, he said, the more you discern. You learn who to avoid. You learn who to get close to. You learn what things are important and what things are not. You learn what will cause failure and what will cause success. Why? Because of your senses. You've exercised them. Your spirit has five basic senses, just as your flesh has five basic senses. There's more than that, but there are five basics. One, the sense of touch. The Bible talks about the ability to touch God. We're talking about touch, smell, taste, hearing, and sight. The sense of touch. Losing the sense of touch is a serious thing. Numbness is a serious thing. I've got a pastor friend in another state, in the state of Florida. He's a wonderful guy. He's my age. He's built a great church in Florida. But he's suffered the last great number of years now with his shoulder and his arm. His arm has been so bad, they've almost taken it off and put it back on two or three times. He has unbelievable pain. But what happened to him, he had a problem in his arm and shoulder, and he did not recognize that. He just recognized it went numb. And he just kept playing golf. He was playing golf one day, and somebody said, oh, my God. He said, what's wrong? Said, there's blood all over your shirt. I mean, massive amounts of blood. He couldn't even feel anything because that arm had gone numb. When he went to the doctor, they said, you've totally destroyed that part of your body, that joint in there. He said, it's just ground to powder. And so he suffered tremendous pain because he did not have sense in that arm, and he couldn't realize what he was doing. It's a terrible thing to lose sense of touch. You know, the Bible teaches us that there is a whole group of people, Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over. You see people, you say, I can't believe somebody would kill their daddy. I can't believe somebody would be in that gross sin. They're past feeling. They can't feel it. One of the things that you as a child of God ought to praise, if you're just looking for things to praise God for, is you ought to praise God for feeling bad. I'm not talking about sick. I'm talking about feeling bad when you do something you shouldn't do. I'm talking about not the spirit of condemnation, but I'm talking about conviction. When you do something and you're convicted, and it can be so many, it's just being rude to somebody. You don't have to be rude, just neglectful. Just didn't spend enough time with them. And you're convicted by that. That's the sense of touch. The Lord touches you with conviction. The Bible said there's going to be a generation. That's where we're living now. He said, were they ashamed? No, they were not ashamed when they committed abomination. He said they were not at all ashamed. He said they couldn't even blush. Does anything embarrass you today? Does anything cause you to look and say, man, I'm ashamed of my generation? That's because you still have a sense of touch and feeling in your life. You can discern between good and evil. You ought to thank God for that. There's a whole generation that can't blush. There's a whole generation that have no convictions. If you have no convictions, you are in a perilous, pitiful place because you ought to have convictions. Say, I couldn't do that. I found this money. I was with a pastor one time, and he, actually his wife, found a money clip. It was a gold money clip. The money clip itself was $1,000. It was gold. And it was chock full of money. But it was cash except one check. It had a check in there with a name and address. And so I asked him a few days later, I said, did you get that money back to the owner? And he said, get it back to the owner. I threw the check away and kept the cash. He's a preacher. Friend, I just couldn't do that. Why? Because of conviction. Now, if it was all cash, I had no way, wouldn't be a problem. But when you got a man's name and you find several hundred dollars, are you a Christian? Do you have any convictions that just say, hey, try your very best to get this back to who it belongs to? And so conviction works in a million ways. And I can't even be able to describe them in your life, but you know what they are. The Holy Spirit convicts you because the Lord touches you. You have a sense that touches him and he touches back. And the second thing is, if you really have a sense of touch and feeling, you can feel the presence of God. Have you ever been in a service where your tears was on your cheeks and you had goosebumps on your backbone and the presence of God was so strong that it was almost a fearful thing in the very, and look over at somebody next to you and they were totally unmoved and untouched? When you see that happening, don't condemn them. Just go into a fit of praise and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I can feel your presence. The Bible said about Samson, he knew not. He wist not is the word the Bible used, wist. W-I-S-T. He knew not that the Spirit of God had departed. And friend, there are so many churches in America that the Spirit of God does not move at all. But they don't realize that because they're making budget. And they've got people that are still tuned in. And so they think everything's all right. Folks, it's not enough for us to congregate. We have to have the move of the Holy Spirit. We have to do whatever is necessary that we entertain God's Spirit, that the Holy Ghost comes in this place, that he's able to heal sick people, save lost people, deliver bound people, encourage the downtrodden. I want the Holy Ghost in this place. And every time I walk in here, I can feel God's presence. There's never been a time. Now, this is not a hyperbole. This is the truth. In 45 years, Chris, I've never left this church and said I didn't feel God's presence. Now, every time we gather together, I feel God's Spirit. God has ordained this church from the very beginning, 45 years ago, and God is still here. But God has given me the ability to discern that God's Holy Ghost is here. My awareness is acute. Show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Number two, the sense of smell. You said, now, is there a spiritual sense of smell? There certainly is. Job talked about the scent of water. He said, as the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God to smell water? When they're having the great cattle drives in Texas up to Kansas, like 150 years ago, those cattle would get so thirsty and so dry. But if they got near a river, those cattle were likely to stampede and break into a run because they could smell water. People that are spiritual can smell the fragrance of Almighty God. Solomon talked about it. He said, thy name has a fragrance, God. I'm drawn to it. When you really know Jesus Christ and you're spiritual, you can sense the fragrance of the Lord's name. What does things smell like to you? You see, it's all not only in the eyes of the beholder, it's also in the nose of the smeller. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus came for this purpose, he knew that the man was dead, Lazarus was dead. He knew that, but he still came. They thought he was a few days late. And so Martha wanted to condemn him and said, well, he's already dead. Now, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, just take me to him. And she said, by this time he stinketh. It smelled like death to her. But to Jesus, it smelled like resurrection. There are people in this world that going to church is the most boring thing in their life. They dread it. They dread going to a funeral. They dread having to go see their little granddaughter get baptized. That's the only time they go to church. They are just like a worm in hot ashes going to church because it just doesn't appeal to them. It has a repulsive effect on them. But there are the Davids that say, I'm glad because it smells good to me. Just everything about the kingdom of God. You know, I take people to our horse barns and Winter City people, they've never been. The first thing they do is they go, ooh, it stinks in here. But a horse barn, when you take horse manure and you mix it with feed, the smell of feed, and then you mix it with cedar shavings, it is the best aftershave in the world. That's what I do before I come to church. I go get a little of that and rub it up. No. But I love the smell. I've been around it all my life, and I love horses. And when I walk into a horse barn, I think about the man that walked into the horse barn one time, and we had about 8 paint mares in a stall. And he said, Steve, I want every one of these. How much are they? I said, they're $5,000 a piece. I'll take them all. Oh, it smelled good to me then. It still does today. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the house of God, there's nothing like God's presence. It has an odor to me, and I praise God for that. To Jesus, Lazarus smelled like resurrection. To his own sister, he smelled like death. I'm going to tell you, the 39th day on the ark with Moses, if you was there, you'd say, wow, this is worse than a zoo on a worker strike. Man, this place smells terrible. But it didn't smell bad to Moses. To Moses, it smelled like salvation. And somebody said, how can you go to church and do this and this? Because it smells like salvation. It smells like resurrection. It smells like miracles. It smells like love. It smells like joy. Praise God. And third, oh hallelujah, the Bible teaches us that God will renew our sense of taste. God has renewed my sense of taste. The Bible said that when we really began to get hungry, we want the meat of God. You know, when you really get used to eating good things and somebody is walking to that house and they're cooking it, automatically your mouth starts watering because they connect the sense of smell with the sense of taste. Oh, they're cooking something here. We had a bakery down on Broadway. Remember that? I used to drive by that bakery. You just drive by there. I'd get so hungry driving by that bakery. There was a little seafood restaurant there called Christie's. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Oh, when I drove by the bakery, I couldn't help but stop at Christie's. They had the best salad dressing in the world at Christie's and the best fried shrimp. But it started when I would smell what was going on at that bakery. Oh, friend, but then I developed a taste. Well, I've got a taste for the Word of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you really develop a taste for the things of God, nothing can stop you. There was 4 men that had been thrown out of the city of Samaria. And Samaria was in a famine, and they were starving to death anyway. They were eating their own children in cannibalism. But these 4 lepers were sitting out there. But they began to reason in their mind. There's a camp called Syria out here that's got this place surrounded. And we're going to die. And I don't want to die of hunger. I'd rather die in warfare. And one of them said to the other, why sit we here till we die? And the Bible said as they got up and they went, that the Lord amplified their footfall till 4 men sound like an army of several thousand. And the Syrians fled. But you know what they did? They left behind enchiladas and tacos. They left behind mashed potatoes and gravy. They left behind fried chicken. The Bible said when they got there, that place was full of food. It was so full, they went back to Samaria to throw them out and convince them to come and have dinner with them. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there's a lot of people that are fearful today. People saying things, preachers saying things. Church ain't never going to be the same again. You're right. It ain't never going to be. It's going to be bigger and better than it's ever been. When people finally shake off this spirit of fear, hallelujah, there is a revival. And I'm going to tell you what, in the name of the Lord
Jesus. I've got a hunger to see what God is going to do, but God has already renewed my sense of taste, and it's already like I'm licking my chops and saying, I'm seeing the miracles happen. I'm seeing the buildings across America filled with people worshiping God. There is a revival coming, and I've got a taste for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four, the sense of hearing. God has renewed my sense of hearing. David inquired of the Lord when he was totally surrounded. He was outnumbered as he usually was. And David inquired of the Lord. And he said, God, should I go up? And this is what the Lord said. He said, let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Then shalt thou bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. There's a lot of people thinking that America has had its best days. They're behind us. I believe there's a revival coming to America. I hear the wind blowing in the mulberry trees, and I'm telling you, it's time to get up. It's not a time to sit down. It's a time to stand up. It's not a time to quit. It's a time to get started. It's not a time to withhold your voice. It's a time to shout with triumph. Because the Lord's Spirit, I can hear it blowing just like it did in those treetops or like it did on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said suddenly there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind. God took Ezekiel out and said, look at this boneyard. And this is very interesting to me because God wanted Ezekiel to get it in his mind. He said, what do you think, Ezekiel? He said, these bones are very, very dry, God. In other words, it's really dead and been dead for a while. But God said, I'm asking you, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest, God. God was wanting Ezekiel to stand up and say, these bones can live because I know you're the God of resurrection. God's waiting for people. This is a unique time we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, the stage is set for people to stand up and become champions for God. This is the time where your voice will make a difference. If everybody was praising, it might not be that important. But friend, you can impact your generation if you'll become a praiser. Because there's a lot of people that are just too afraid to praise. You need to get up and say, all right, I see how bad it is. I see the boneyard. The Bible said Ezekiel walked all around. He went around that whole thing just in a big circle. And he said, wow, but can these bones live? And he said, you know, God. The first thing that happened was he heard the wind from way off in the valley. Here come the wind blowing, and it began to blow. I don't know whether you can hear it or not. If you're spiritually renewed and your senses are attuned to what God is doing, it might look like a boneyard to you, but I tell you that God's wind is beginning to blow again. And way down in the very far corner of that boneyard, there was a hand just got up. It wasn't a whole body, just a hand. And just went by waving Ezekiel, just making a little difference. After a while, a foot went walking by. After a while, a kneecap went by. And then they began to get together. And after a while, that whole valley was shaking in bones. And then the Bible said the sinew and the flesh come upon them. And that Ezekiel's valley stood up as an army for God. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that my senses have been renewed. I can feel God's presence everywhere. I can smell the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I can hear the sound of God's wind. And we need to realize that God is speaking to us not to give up, because his prophet is here and saying, tomorrow about this time, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and give you things you've never had and see things you've never seen in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. I'm excited. The Holy Ghost is renewing my senses. It's renewing my spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. The power of God is alive. God won't let me sleep through the whole night. God spoke all this to me about 3:30 in the morning on Monday night, Tuesday morning. I was wide awake. And God was putting all this in my spirit. I'm renewing your senses. You're going to hear things you've never heard. You're going to feel things you've never feel. In the name of Jesus. And last but not least, praise God. God has renewed my sense of sight. They were in a drought. And God said, I'm going to do something for you. And Elijah knew he was. But you've always got people around you trying to help. And Elijah had a little servant. He said, go out to the sea and tell me what you can see out there. The guy came back and he said, I don't see nothing. Elijah said, is that right? Elijah could already see it in the spirit. He said, go back again. He went back again. He went back three times. He went back four times. He went back five times. He went back six times. He went back seven times. He said, what do you see now? He said, not much. I see a cloud just as a man's hand. It is significant that it was like a man's hand because God was saying, I'm going to put my power in your hands. And that's what God is going to do for the church. He's going to put his power in our hands. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is getting ready to do a brand new thing. And praise God, that rain began to fall. Those clouds begin to form. And finally, there was that old false prophet. And there was Elijah running by him and saying, head for high country. It's coming a flood. You ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. It's not going to be a trickle. It's not going to be a little rain that's just going to pass by. It's going to be what we used to call when I was a boy, a gully washer. It's coming, a gully washer. God is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. There is a revival coming. God wants the Christians to get their mind off the White House and get it back on the church house. He wants it to get it off of personalities and get it on the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the God of glory. All we need to do, friend, is get the word out and get it like a fire shut up in our bones and get our worship up to the level that it needs to be and get our prayer life like it ought to be. And God is going to anoint us. God wants to make your dead senses live. He wants you to see what you've never seen, taste what you've never tasted, feel what you've never felt, hear what you've never heard. God is looking for people. This could be your finest hour. God is looking for people. And praise God, I want to tell you, the devil said, you're too old. I said, no, I ain't too old. And God told you, the devil told you, you're too young. No, you're not too young if you're 13 or 12 or 11 or 10. And God said, well, you're too limited. You're not limited because God is not looking for people with ability. God's the one with the ability. He's looking for people that have availability. Are you ready? Are you willing? Stand on your feet right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for this congregation. Lord, that what you're doing in my spirit, you will do in theirs because it's a good thing. It's a fun thing. It's a rewarding thing. It's an exciting thing, what you're showing me and what you're speaking to me and how you're blessing me. But God, I want it for this entire congregation. I'm praying for them right now. Lord, the things that they thought were gone forever, you will resurrect them. The lost will be found. Praise God. The thing that has been vanished will be recollected again in their life. In the name of Jesus. Let them have miracles in their bodies. Let them have miracles in their business, on their jobs. Miracles in their finances. Miracles in their families. Praise God. This is an ideal time for you to show your unsaved family what it means to be a Christian, that you can come through the fire without a smell of smoke on your clothes. Praise God. You can come through a pandemic and say, the Lord has kept me through it all. Look what the Lord has done. If there's anybody in this building right now that's not saved, it'd be a good time for you to run to Jesus right now. Just run to Jesus and say, I want to be saved. If there's anybody that doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this would be a good time for you to get the Holy Ghost. But praise God, if there's a Christian here and you said, I've been a little disappointed, I've been a little depressed, I've been a little discouraged. God doesn't want you depressed or discouraged or disappointed. God wants you to be a light in a dark time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's you, I challenge you to get out of your chair right now and say, praise God. I want you to wake me up at 3:30 in the morning like you did Pastor Fender, and I want you to set my fields on fire. I want you to renew my senses. I want you, God, to show me what you're going to do in my life. Let me hear that voice of triumph in my ear, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All over this house, would you give the Lord some praise? Would you give God some praise in this house? The Holy Ghost is in this room right now in the name of Jesus. I had a pastor call me this week. Actually, I called him. And he said, my wife
which I just met one time. I know him very well. But I met his said she never misses you and Brandon. She watches you every Wednesday and every Sunday. And said, man, y'all are on fire. And said, it's helped us. We're on fire. And they're over in another state. But praise God, there's a lot of people looking at us. People are looking for somebody that's a born again, Holy Ghost filled, excited Christian that is not being overcome, but they are overcoming everything the devil is trying to do. In the name of Jesus, my brother, you are an amazing man of God, but you hadn't seen God's best yet. God's going to do something through you.